everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Own Family Business Podcast. I'm Dan Binkin with the University of Northern Iowa's Family Business Forum. We're honored and excited today to have Jason Andriga with us. He's the current president and CEO at Vermeer Corporation here in Pella, Iowa. Many of you will recognize the Vermeer Corporation name, and I think most of us would agree that the Vermeer family is certainly the one we lift up as probably the gold standard when it comes to family transitions, family success, managing the three circles, so to speak, of family leadership, ownership, and working in the business. Jason, we're just excited that you could do this with us today. We're here in your grandfather's home. You know, I look over your shoulder across the street. I can see the Vermeer campus and the amazing corporation that your family has built now over the last 76 years. Again, we're just really grateful to have you here to share a little bit of your background, how you came into the business, how you were nurtured in terms of your leadership development now with the company, and maybe even a little bit about how you now as a parent take that lens for your own children and how you maybe are developing and getting them exposed to the company and the opportunities. So with that, let's get into some questions. But so Jason, we're here in your grandparents' house, right? And I think you just told me that I'm sitting in your grandfather's chair, so I'm a little nervous right now. But this is where everything started for your family company. And I'm curious, you know, if you could share a little bit about what it was like growing up in a family company. At what point did you kind of realize that you were part of something that was maybe a little more unique than the typical Iowa family? From that standpoint,
I often introduce myself with regards to working at Vermeer as I've been working at Vermeer for nearly 14 years or my whole life, depending on how you look at it. And, you know, it feels as though I've been involved with Vermeer from my earliest memories. So my grandfather's most iconic invention was the round hay baler.
Yeah.
He made that invention in the early 1970s, and I was born in the mid-1970s. So some of my earliest memories were, you know, taking pictures on round bales of hay with my cousins. So, you know, from my earliest memories, Vermeer was a big part of it, and have my whole life been extremely proud of this company with my grandfather's name on the buildings and my grandfather's sure. name on the machines. And I had a, you know, tremendous relationship with both of my grandparents, spent a lot of time with them. So the opportunity to, you know, continue my family's legacy of leadership from my grandfather, both my uncles worked in the company. My Uncle Bob was CEO for many years. And then to, you know, be my mom's successor as CEO are, you know, that's very gratifying to me.
Sure. In that leadership vein you just mentioned, you know, I'm curious if there's any specific memories you have of your grandparents, specifically probably your grandfather, that might have shaped your own leadership style, like things that you picked up on from him, you know, even maybe when you were just a little youngster running around on hay bales type of thing. But
my grandfather was very influential to me in a variety of ways. I decided to major in engineering when I built a cabin with my grandfather in Canada between my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college. So he was influential to me to the point of even selecting my major because of that experience with him.
Okay.
And because of the aspiration and the expectation that I would eventually come to work for Vermeer.
Sure.
But, you know, I would say that the kind of the overall life lessons that I learned from my grandfather that I definitely hope to implement in my own leadership is integrity, number one.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any doubt in my mind that my grandfather always operated with the utmost integrity.
Okay.
And then secondly, a long-term vision.
Sure.
You know, I can't imagine my grandfather ever making the decision to the benefit of the short term and to the detriment of the long term.
I gotcha.
So, you know, those are a couple things that in a variety of ways, personal, business, in every way in which he lived his life with integrity and he lived his life with.
It sounds like you spent some time
outside the company before he came back, if I'm doing my math correctly. Mm-hmm. What kinds of, you know, what was that like as far as, was that a purposeful and thing that you were doing to work somewhere else? Did you know that you would always come back to the company? How did that play out for you as your career unfolded?
My Uncle Bob and my mom showed a lot of foresight by when my cousins and I, my sister and I were in sort of junior high, high school, college age, we developed a family employment policy. So those things that we would do before potentially starting a career at Vermeer. And I think that is a really important document for our family.
Okay.
I think it's really a good thing for family businesses to consider, particularly as a family business is going from sort of the second generation to the third generation and, you know, all subsequent generations.
Yep.
After that, you know, probably not quite as critical when it's going from first generation to second
sure.
generation, because, you know, so often, you know, the kids are involved from their earliest
very
memory
close.
In,
yep.
you know, a very direct way,
yep.
you know, first to a second generation. But for us, we had this family employment policy in place when I was in high school. And so it was just an expectation for me that I would do something before eventually coming back to work at Vermeer. And all of my thought process was based on that.
Okay.
And so, as I mentioned earlier, I decided I was going to major in engineering and got an undergrad degree in mechanical engineering. And then started thinking, you know, what would be an interesting thing to do with an engineering degree before eventually coming back to work for Vermeer. And I'm a pilot, and I've always been very passionate about aviation. So
okay.
I thought I'd maybe do something with aviation. And then pretty quickly, I pivoted toward being completely infatuated with space for a period of time.
Okay.
So I co-opted at Johnson Space Center as an undergrad.
Oh, wow.
And I went to MIT for a graduate school in aerospace engineering and worked for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is a NASA center as well, for 4 years before coming to work for Vermeer.
All right. So you're a rocket scientist. Is that what you're telling me?
You know, within
good stuff.
Within JPL or within NASA, I wouldn't call myself a rocket scientist but because I wasn't a propulsion guy. But yeah, according to most people, I'm a rocket scientist.
All right. For our standards here today, you definitely check that box.
That's great.
How did CEO become maybe a position you thought, you know, that's where I want to strive to get to, or that's where I want to direct my career toward? Was it something that, you know, your uncle or your mother or somebody else, you know, how did that come into play for you and your thought process, and how did you shape your style to get there?
For me, the aspiration of becoming CEO was always part of the mix.
Okay.
You know, I'm in my sixth role now at Vermeer. So I was in five previous roles before becoming the CEO and thoroughly enjoyed those previous roles. You know, so, you know, to me, it was never as though I was just biding my time until I could become CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I invested myself fully and thoroughly enjoyed and, you know, absolutely gave my best effort to every role that I had
sure.
for CEO. But, you know, always in my mind, I was hoping and aspiring to eventually be the CEO. And it was always my aspiration that I would have the opportunity to succeed my mother as CEO, to, you know, have a continuous line of Vermeer family
mm-hmm.
leadership within the organization. And, you know, even before I came to Vermeer, one of our key directors who became our lead director, he was my mentor and still is. He's a close friend now, guy by the name of Lynn Horak. And, you know, I was very straightforward with him before coming to Vermeer and early in my career at Vermeer that was my aspiration, and, you know, very forthright with the vice president of HR that was my aspiration, and certainly that I didn't feel entitled to anything,
sure,
but that my desire was to earn that opportunity. And I was in, you know, five different positions over the span of a decade before becoming CEO.
Okay. Were there things that your family or the firm did, you know, and I know we're on a much larger scale than some of our clients will be, but just wondering, were there things that they might have done to help kind of with your development within the firm, or specifically maybe from the family side that, you know, you could see as applying to other families, or things that you're glad they did for you that, you know, you would encourage others?
We have some really tremendous structure that, you know, we really look at it as the three circles, the business circle, yeah, the ownership circle, the family circle. And, you know, we have structures that have focuses in each of those different areas. So, you know, we have a tremendous ownership council, and we've had family councils in the past. And so, you know, I think we do the best we can to have the appropriate structures. And I had a small group of people that included both internal resources and also members of our board that were extremely involved with, on a quarterly basis or even more often, you know, hearing from me as to how things were going and giving me advice and, you know, really helping to determine each of those five positions that I was in before becoming CEO. Oh, okay. So my first position was an engineering position, which made sense. That was my sure. background. And then that group was very instrumental in making the decision that my next stop should be an international experience.
Okay.
So for 3 years, I was responsible for our regional office in the Netherlands, which is responsible for Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
Okay.
And that was, to me, my most crucial development opportunity in developing toward eventually the CEO role, is the opportunity to be responsible for an entity and to, you know, work in a place where, you know, business culture is quite different than here.
Sure.
And, you know, that was definitely a combination of my uncle was CEO at that point. My mom was co-CEO, so that, you know, both of them were involved in that from, you know, kind of a family perspective.
Okay.
Providing.
So there was a lot of intentionalness going on.
There was. There definitely was a lot of, you know, intentional thought
yep.
in it.
Yep.
You know, my mom has, you know, been tremendous for my whole life, frankly, in being very instrumental in my selecting to come work at Vermeer and my development through Vermeer. So I had the opportunity to travel with my mom when I was in, you know, grade school, high school, college, and seeing Vermeer equipment working in customers' hands on some of the trips that I was with my mom on was definitely significant.
Okay.
In what led me to come to Vermeer and led me to continue to develop at Vermeer to
sure.
to
develop your own passions.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. I know that you have kids, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know their ages, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're thinking now for them and how you are kind of getting them exposed to the firm, getting them exposed to what it means to be part of a family company, and getting just getting them exposed to what the opportunities may or may not be, making sure they don't feel entrapments or those kinds yeah. of things. How are you doing that?
I never felt pressured to come to
Vermeer. Really?
Nope.
Okay.
I never felt pressured by my mom to come to Vermeer. I never felt pressured by my grandfather to come to Vermeer. I definitely felt, you know, from both my parents and my grandfather that, you know, they would like to see me come to Vermeer, but in no way did I ever feel pressured. And frankly, when I was extremely enamored by space for a period of time, you know, my mom and my grandfather thought that was great, and,
yeah.
and they were very supportive of that. And if I had decided to spend my entire career in aerospace, they would have supported it. So, you know, right along those same lines, I have no intention to put any pressure on my kids to come work at Vermeer. I have three children, and, you know, my hope is that as owners of this tremendous company, that they are they're proud of the company, that they have a desire for the best in the future for all Vermeer stakeholders.
Sure.
That, you know, they're concerned about the future of the company from the perspective of our team members, from the perspective of our customers, from the perspective of our dealers, and of course, from the perspective of the shareholders. You know, that to me is what I intend to instill into my kids. And if their passions eventually lead them back to Vermeer, that'll be great. But if their passions and, you know, their backgrounds lead them in other directions, I'm going to support that 100% and hope that they continue the pride of ownership that we've had for 71 years and counting.
Okay, that's cool. I appreciate that. This is a little different question now. So we're going to talk maybe about your outside board of directors. I know you utilize an outside board of directors, and I'm curious, how does the combination of that along with family, because you have a very large, I would say, family of 70 plus folks who are shareholders, I think, in the company, right? All of your different relatives that are tied to this. How did those things intermix, if at all, to guide your decision making?
I'm very happy that we made the decision several years ago, and really there is unanimous support among the shareholders for our plus one board. So we will always have at least one additional outside independent director in comparison to family directors.
Okay.
So currently we have five family members. Two of those are named positions. It's the CEO position, which I'm in, and the chair position that my mom is in. And then we have three additional shareholder directors, and those seats have 4-year term limits on them. And those three seats are recommended to the board by the ownership council. So the ownership council is responsible for developing the onboarding and the procedures and the process by which people submit their name to be considered, and then go through the tasks that are determined by the ownership council and by the HR and governance committees of the board to have the opportunity to serve on the board as a shareholder director. And then other than those five, we have currently six independent outside directors. And the insight and the business wisdom that we get from those six independent directors is phenomenally valuable to me from a business perspective. And then I think also it provides a significant level of comfort to the family members and to the ownership council that, there is tremendous wise leadership and oversight provided by the board.
Okay. All right. That's cool. I think, you know, as many family businesses as are listening to this, you know, I hope they really strongly consider having a board. An outside board just seems so integral to family harmony and those kinds of things as well. A couple of questions now, thinking backwards, maybe a little bit of, so here you are now as CEO. Are there any things that you would have told your younger self to do differently, knowing you would move into this role, or maybe to speed up getting exposure to, or anything like that, or not necessarily?
There's not a whole lot I would do different.
Okay.
Definitely, I'm glad I spent as much time as I did outside the business.
Yep.
There was a time when I was in graduate school at MIT and was decided I didn't want to go on for a PhD and, you know, wasn't really enjoying the research that I was doing and considered going right to Vermeer after MIT. And I was newly married at the time. And, you know, my wife said, but you don't fulfill the family employment policy. And
sure.
I said, yes, I do. I co-opt for this amount of time and I'm a research assistant at MIT. So that counts. And she's like, no, that doesn't count. You need to go work someplace full time first. And, you know, that was great advice.
It's good to have that voice of reason in your life, isn't it?
Yes. So, okay. You know, I'm glad I worked outside the business as long as I did. When I was at JPL, I went to business school at night for 3 years. And, that also was really important to me to, you know, recognize that I really was very intrigued by business, by the opportunity to go back to my family business.
Sure.
So, there's probably little things I would change.
Not too much.
As far as, you know, how I allocated my time
in
different roles. You know, I could look at each of the different five roles I was in before CEO and think, you know, maybe I'd have spent a little bit more time in this area and a little less time in that area. But overall, from a broad perspective, you know, I'm glad with the choices I made from an educational perspective. I'm glad with the choices I made from working outside the company before coming into the company. And, you know, really feel very strongly that, you know, working your way up through the company in an appropriate way is very important. You know, I'm glad that I came into the company in a role that I was totally qualified for, that my background led me directly into. And then I'm glad that I was part of a variety of experiences, you know, that I didn't just stay in an engineering track, but, you know, I got very broad exposure in my other five positions before becoming CEO.
Would you say that part of that, you know, It sounds to me like, you know, very few, if any, real like regrets or changes that you would make. And I wonder if is some of that partly due to the fact that your family is so intentional with planning and with having some roadmaps and, you know, policies, even if they're somewhat loose, but it doesn't sound like they are, to be able to kind of help guide you along and in that way so that, you know, you're not just kind of free flowing, making it up as you go.
Yeah, I think so. And frankly, once again, I think it goes back to the foresight of the second generation, you know, my Uncle Bob and my mom, to, you know, start the process of a family employment policy. And, you know, we worked with outside resources. We worked with firms whose specialty is helping family firms. And, you know, they provided us a lot of great advice.
Yeah.
You know, I spent one-on-one time with those firms. They spent one-on-one time with, you know, my sister and each of my cousins. And then, you know, spent time with us as a group. And I do think that instilled the intentionality of, you know, not just kind of winging it.
Sure.
But being very intentional about it and you know, being sure about it before actually embarking on it. You know, I certainly never came to Vermeer with a thought, oh, well, I'll just see how this goes.
Sure.
I felt pretty confident that Vermeer was the right choice for me before actually starting.
That's awesome. Okay. How about if you're thinking about other, so this will be listened to by a lot of next generation family members across Iowa, you know, and beyond maybe, but as far as if you were to give advice to other next gens coming up in a company, you know, what kinds of things and would you be kind of telling them? And especially for those who are looking to one day probably take over at the top.
Family businesses are tremendous opportunities for family members, but there are also a lot of cons to them. You know, definitely you are under a spotlight more so than other people. And so, you know, knowing that is the case is important, and being prepared for that to be the case is important. So I really think most fundamentally it comes down to, is the type of work that the family business does that at your core appeal to you?
Yep.
Does the type of work that you would be doing, does that inspire you? Does that make you excited to, you know, think about getting out of bed every day to do that? You know, and if the answer to that is either no or I don't know, probably continue to work outside the business until you feel confident that the answer is either yes or I'm quite sure it's yes. And you know, once that's the case, you know, then you know, family businesses are just tremendous opportunities, and I think they're valuable to all stakeholders. You know, I am convinced that our customers appreciate the long-term view that we have because we continue to be privately held and we continue to have family leadership in the company, and the team members that we have at Vermeer, and the shareholders, when in thinking about the value of the company for them in the long term, there is a tremendous amount of value when there are family members who are passionate. I often say this to our dealers that, my number one desired pathway for our dealers that are family owned is that they would transition from one generation of passionate, engaged, talented family leadership to the next generation of engaged, passionate, talented leadership. And if that's not possible, then there's other options.
Sure.
But that's option A. And, I do feel that that is the case for family businesses. You know, when you do have that next generation of passionate, talented leadership, that is the best choice. That's option A for a family firm.
Do they ever ask, I'm sure they do, when they ask you for advice on how to bring their kids into those dealerships, what kinds of things do you share that are probably, firsthand for you a lot?
Exposure to the business early is great, and we do this at Vermeer with our education group, which is part of the ownership council, is trying to be as open and accommodating as we can possibly be to expose our now fourth generation to the scope of Vermeer, to the incredible impact of Vermeer, so that at a minimum, but this is a really important minimum, so that they are passionate, competent future owners of the company.
Sure.
And if that then leads to someone to pursue a career in that company, great. But yet making sure not to make people feel pressured, because I feel very strongly that, anybody that worked in a family business because they felt pressured to be in the family business, that the company is not well served if that's the case.
Sure. So it sounds like kind of like voting early and often exposure here, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Our education committee does, I think, an excellent job of, being very accommodating for internships and summer experiences and, being exposed to the company via our annual family camp that, really allows people to develop the pride in the company and the understanding of the company, but yet in a non-pressured way.
Sure. As an educational way,
how well the team rallied around that, how quickly we, first of all, the blessing that we had no serious injuries, no fatalities, that's number one. And then, beyond that, to be able to get our team back to work as quickly as we did, to communicate with our team as effectively as we did during that time,
sure,
to recover our production as quickly as we did, and, to be investing all of our insurance proceeds plus millions of dollars more into the rebuild, so that, we are turning a challenge into an opportunity. We're taking the opportunity to really allow us to be better because of the tornado and how we rebuild from it.
Sure.
Than ever. So, that's what I wasn't planning on. probably the other two that to me are really important is to continue to leverage what to me is our number one core competency, which is designing and building innovative products for niche markets.
Yep.
Which, that's not only the engineers that are involved in that, that's everybody at Vermeer. Sure. That's involved in that. And then, with time, increasing the international footprint that we serve. Those are important ones to me.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't really touched on the tornado, but, earlier you said you're a rocket scientist. I said you're a rocket scientist. And I'm wondering if you've become kind of a weather expert, or at least a tornado expert now. Are you the tornado guy now?
I hope not to ever gain any more expertise than what I already have.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. That's what we got for this. I don't know, Jane, you think you have anything else that we should?
I think you.
We might voice over some mentions of the event coming up on the 30th, and
Well, we purposely tried to stay off of topics too that we knew we were going to be covered.
Yeah, we didn't want to. Awesome.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not going to be here for that. But
no, it's okay.
It's you know, kind of as I alluded to before, I try to, you know, make a very clear distinction between, you know, my desire is to be responsible for the business.
Yep.
And, you know, I am thrilled that the ownership council is responsible for the family circle and the ownership circle. And, you know, obviously I'm involved as appropriate in both of those circles, but, you know, really glad that it's our ownership council that's responsible.
Takes care of that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. This was really awesome. Thank you for giving us some time today.
Yeah, happy to be part of it.